Thanks for listening to Ace on the House on Podcast One.
Love listening to this podcast? Ever wonder what it's like to create a listening experience like this week to week? Do your friends always tell you, you should do your own podcast? Well, now this is your chance. Our podcast network, Podcast One, is looking for the next podcast star. Think it could be you? Enter the self-made podcast competition now and find out. Visit launchpad1.com/self-made for a chance to win a contract with Podcast One valued at over $100,000 in promotion and so much more. Enter now until September 3rd and tell all your friends to listen and download. Check out the official rules and sign up for your chance to win at launchpad1.com/self-made. This show sponsored in part by JB Weld. Yeah, the proud sponsor of Ace on the House. Epoxy adhesives been used and trusted for over 50 years. And you can get them at jbweld.com and retailers everywhere. Lowe's, AutoZone, Michaels, O'Reilly, Walmart, Amazon. JB Weld, world's strongest bond. What do we got, Stromer?
We've got Hoopa Masters making a Hoopa with sugar-free poplar. What? Is that even possible?
We're going to find out.
I guess.
All right, and many other things as well. First, I'll tell you about Craig Tool. That's right. Easy to create the perfect strong pocket hole joints with the Craig Pocket Hole Jig 520 Pro. Most versatile pocket hole jig yet. Works on a wide variety of material. Great for all types of indoor and outdoor wood projects. If you listen to the show and you like getting to the garage and you like building for yourself, you need this tool. It's a pocket hole jig. It's kind of the new wave of joinery. No more dados and rabbits. You just use your jig now. It's so much stronger, so much faster, so much easier. This is a great tool. I use it. It's just $99.99. It's available nationwide at Home Depot, Lowe's, and other home centers, as well as woodworking and hardware stores. Build pocket hole projects anytime, anywhere, and you can learn more at craigtool.com. That's KREGTool.com.
This is Corolla Digital.
A master carpenter who's here to help you out. If you can't fix it, then let A show you how.
Get it on. Got to get on. Get it on.
Band-Aid.
And welcome to Ace on the House. I'm Adam Carl. It's Eric Stromer over there.
Digging. That's what I've been doing this morning so
really?
Far. Digging. Trenching.
Yeah. Trenching for your footing.
Yeah.
For
because,
your...
Well, Adam, listen. Here's the deal. Everything now I've realized is below grade because the earth is higher than my plate that's attaching to the side of the house to hang this deck on, which is ground level. So I have to lay out all my 16 on center framing, 4-inch posts every 4 foot posts every 4 feet, right? And then channel basically down enough to then lay my framing into the ground, right?
Yeah. I mean, your ledger.
Yeah, ledger, exactly.
You need to trench down to get the ledger onto the side of the house.
Right. Between the ledger side of the house, ledger on the pool steps.
Treated two by six. 2x6.
Yeah. So basically, I've been digging.
You're going with 2x6 framing?
Yeah.
How long's the span?
It'll be every 4 feet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then are you running a 4x underneath that?
Or I'm going to run two by sixes sandwiching the 4x4 posts coming out of the sauna tubes.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Right.
And then I'll do singles when I need to.
Mm-hmm. And so you were physically digging.
Digging,
this morning,
man. And, you know, I got so good at digging during the time I was at home doing my own yard with the trencher and all the tools that it's really effortless now. It's easy. And I'm like a machine. I'm good at it.
But you can't use a trencher next to the house.
Too damn compact. I can't get it in there.
And you're going to put the ledger on with Titan bolts?
I took your advice. I got some Titans. I'm going to drill, pre-drill them, screw them right into the side of the concrete slab that's there, and I think that'll be it.
All right. We got a call up there. I don't like that call. Pet smells.
I tell you how you get rid of pet smells. Get rid of those pets.
That's right.
Am I right?
I don't know how to get rid
of... That's the short I do.
Get rid of the pets?
Yeah, no, get rid of the pet smells, man. It's white vinegar.
Mm-hmm.
And right, well, you sat, on. Let's talk. I have pets, I do.
Wes, 38, Illinois.
Hi, Guy.
Hi, Wes. Hi, Guy.
Hey, so looking at a house, unfinished basement, everything seemed pretty good, but I've been sitting on the market for a while, and I walk in, and it's a pet smell. So other than ripping out the carpet, I heard Stromer say, white vinegar. Is there anything else I should really think about?
Well, first of all, is it the carpet or is it in the hardwood floor? Because a lot of times they piss on the hardwood.
Yeah, so most of the house, I'd say the first floor is about 1,800 square feet. I'd say about 1,500 plus is carpet.
Yeah.
The rest is hardwood. The hallway and dining area is
hardwood,
and then linoleum in the kitchen.
What's under the carpet?
I would assume you mean what kind of subfloor?
Yes.
It was built in 65, so I'm guessing some kind of OSB or not OSB, plywood probably.
So it is a raised foundation-ish, not a
correct.
Slab.
Yep.
Well, so then the wood will be saturated with piss also.
Yeah, you're saying
that's what I was afraid of.
You're saying the carpet's in good shape?
It wasn't bad. The guy who's living there, I don't think he's motivated to sell from the looks of things. His parents bought it, and he's kind of crashing there, and beer cans, all kinds of stuff.
Maybe it's his piss. I mean, that's even worse.
Yeah, probably.
I bought my first three houses from kids.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
You mean kids that were living in there like they inherited the house or something?
Mm-hmm.
So what'd you do?
Well, the first house, 1923, the kid who was living there just let it go to seed completely, and that just needed a complete rebuild. I do remember in the fireplace, he had about 10,000 cigarette butts, so the guy just sat in the living room and smoked.
Just going like, goddamn, Grandma, why didn't she leave me a car?
Had a Batchelder fireplace, by the way.
That's a beautiful thing.
Painted over 20 coats of Sears Easy Living.
No, that tile's something else, man.
I brought it back to life, man.
How'd you get it off?
Believe it or not, I looked at it. I was like, I don't even know what this is. Who cares? They literally painted the tile.
Yeah.
And by the way, they didn't paint it with something appropriate. They just painted it with Sears Easy Living, wall paint, thousand coats. At some point after I got done doing a bunch of structural stuff at the house, I was kind of looking at it going, what's underneath here? So I just took some, serious paint remover, the gel stuff, you know, and just kind of went at it. And, we're looking at a picture
Ooh,
that's
of it. Gorgeous, man.
But Look that's that. Not it. That's the fireplace, but I moved it from one house to another house.
You took the fireplace with you?
I did.
How'd you get it out without cracking the tile?
Diamond blade.
Jeez, you're a
right
genius.
Angle. Yeah.
Once you get a hold of something, you hang on, don't you? You're not going to let that fat shelter go.
I went at it. I removed one fireplace. It's a long ass story, but the point is I moved one to one place and then I installed another in another place. One I bought, used, the other I pulled out. But
let's get back to his piss.
either way, then I had someone else sell me a house, the kids, and they had they had a bunch of suggestions, like, you're not going to change the color, are you? That's the way mom and dad, and I was like,
fuck mom and dad.
I was like, once you sell a house,
it's mine.
Yeah. I'm going to shoot kitty porn in here.
That's right. It's mine, mofo.
It's mine, mofo.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. It sounds, are you wanting to live in this house, Wes, or you want to rent it?
I'm looking to live in it. I'm just moving towns for a new job, and I was looking around and, it needs a lot of work, but that doesn't bother me. It's just something like that. If it's going to be a problem,
it's not going to be a problem.
Like the carpet's got to go.
The carpet's got to go, Wes. And then once you pull the carpet up, you got to determine, can I? Because if you don't literally paint over the subfloor to seal the piss in, it'll always come back.
I was going to say, can you just kills it?
You can
seal it up.
Yeah, if you do that, it'll be fine. If you don't, it'll still come
kills
up.
Kills with a Z.
Yeah, and your primer. And your other pets will sense it and smell it, and they'll start pissing at the
same
spot.
Right, my dog is, that's one of my concerns, is he decides to mark up the place over it. So.
Yep. You got to neutralize it with kills, and then it's fine. It could help your case, though, if you say, dude, the carpet's got piss all over it. You know, knock off $5,000. Come on.
All right, Stromer, take care of your business.
Well, kids, I got to tell you, the world's strongest bond is who? Well, J.B. Weld. Right? World's strongest bond, obviously. Pros have trusted this product for over 50 years. But why hire a pro when J.B. Weld can make it easy to do it yourself? Now, obviously, we're proud to have J.B. Weld Epoxy Adhesive as a sponsor, and Adam personally knows the owner. He was wandering through SEMA one fine year in Vegas and ran into this guy in the booth, and they started chatting it up. And lo and behold, a few years later, here we are, a sponsor of their fine adhesive products, which I've used multiple times on many things. Did I tell you about this? I fixed my aluminum light for exterior lighting that literally just cracked in half. I used the two-part epoxy metal putty, made like a snake, and then did a circle around where it had come right off and put it back on, just stuck it down, walked away, and it blew my mind. Like, I kid you not. It's amazing stuff.
That's a money saver.
Yeah, it sure is. So anyway, projects like Autocrafts, plumbing, marine, and more use on metal, wood, plastic, glass, ceramics. Keep it in your kitchen drawer with craft supplies in the garage. Obviously, Adam used it to fix Sonny's shoes. We've used it to do all sorts of great projects as well. J.B. Weld just acquired Herculiner, the original DIY truck bed liner. So if you're looking for the world's strongest truck bed liner, Herculiner has you covered. Matt?
J.B. Weld's available at jbweld.com. Home Depot, Lowe's, Walmart, AutoZone, Advance Auto Parts, Napa, O'Reilly, Amazon, Michaels, and more. And remember, J.B. Weld epoxy products are proudly made in the USA. J.B. Weld, world's strongest bond.
All right, we got a mudroom question up there.
Oh, yeah. I like those mudrooms.
Sean, 38, Long Island.
How's it going, guys?
Good. How you doing?
Good to talk to you. Very good. Huge fan.
Thanks.
So I have about 5 feet by 4 feet of crappy-looking linoleum from the 80s. And the rest of my house, I got a beautiful hardwood floor newly installed. But I wanted to kind of make the entranceway a bit of an accent piece with some nice tiles, and I'm wondering, you know, what products should I use, and if it's something you think I could do myself.
100% you can do yourself. I would like to see you, if you're using it as a real mudroom where you're kind of transitioning from outside to inside, large format tile, less grout joints. It'll be impervious to staining because, you know, you'll have less grout to contend with.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easy to do yourself because they're large, flat, like let's say they can be 2 by 3 feet long pieces of tile. As long as you get that floor flat, it's very, very simple to install because you have so little grouting to do and kind of relatively few cuts as well. So I would go for large format tile.
Makes sense. And now, is that like a porcelain tile that I'm supposed to be using?
Yeah, it can be. There are porcelain or ceramic. All you need to do is make sure you can kind of match that floor level with your hardwood. So, you know, you may want to fart around with some, you know, either leveling it with self-leveling cement once you go over the linoleum or take it out, or some kind of underlayment and then a hardy backer on top of that to kind of get those two surfaces level, because that really looks and feels the most professional.
Well, is it a raised foundation, slab? Probably raised.
Yes. It's raised.
And you have like three
coming up about 5 feet.
And is your linoleum below your hardwood?
No. They ripped that all up. But the linoleum, I could rip the linoleum up for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we're trying to figure out the kind of transition here, because by the time, you know, linoleum's an eighth of an inch thick. By the time you put your hardy backer on and then you put your mastic adhesive on, and then you put your tile on.
It'll be way above the floor at that point.
Correct.
Right. And right now they're even, right?
Almost. About an eighth of an inch.
Yeah. So we're going to try not to build it up too much.
You could do a quarter inch underlayment and then put your, you know, it'll end up being a quarter inch tile also. So then you got about a half inch to contend with.
Yeah, I don't know if that large format stuff is a quarter inch though.
Oh yeah. Oh, absolutely. It can be quarter inch for sure.
You can get 2 foot by 3 foot and a quarter inch.
Yep.
Check that, Gary.
Yeah.
Large format tile, 2 foot by 3 foot.
Yep.
All right. Well, if you can get a quarter of that and a quarter of Hardy Backer.
Yep.
And then the thin set, you know, let's just call it 5/8.
Let's call it 5/8.
So now you have to make a transition.
Okay. Right.
You know, 5/8 isn't the end of the world.
By the way, who's the king of transitions?
I am.
Thank you.
Look no further than
tell them what you would do.
In the studio here.
Yep.
All right. So we got a 2 foot by 3 foot field tile. And how thick is that tile? Gary's looking for it. I don't know.
Probably a quarter.
I think it's thicker than a quarter.
Eighth of an
eighth inch. Eighth inch. No, recommended grout joint. Sorry.
I'm telling you, it can be a quarter. It's porcelain. It can be whatever the hell it wants to be rigid.
All right. All right. How's the, what year's the house?
1923. I bought it. Yeah. It was a mess, but I've spent about the better part of four years fixing it all up, and it's looking pretty good.
Here, you know,
do you have the vintage trim details in all of your molding?
No, unfortunately, this house was really a mess. I don't have that nice stuff anymore.
Wait, hold on. Let me talk to Stromer.
Yeah, please.
I worry a little about the subfloor in this house from the 20s.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going
to. So you mean you want to take this opportunity to take down the subfloor to the joists and get it exactly as you need it to make the two surfaces ultimately flat and perfect?
Not necessarily. I'm just worried. I'm worried. Yeah. I don't know if it's diagonal, you know, 1x6. It's not plywood. It's not OSB. Maybe it was redone at some point.
And the problem with that diagonal stuff is that if you demo it, there's generally going to be – it's not perfectly flat ever.
Yeah.
So you got to
float. Sean, do you know what the subflooring is in the mudroom?
I'm pretty sure there's some particle board or some plywood underneath here. Some plywood.
Yo, so someone redid it.
Somebody redid it, and there's some plywood underneath this linoleum.
Okay, so they pulled up the old 1x6, and they put down some 3/4 ply.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, well, tear up the linoleum, screw the shit out of it.
Find the joists and screw the plywood into the joists again.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
And and then you could go with the quarter inch Hardy Backer.
Yeah, as long as everything's
flat. Thin format tile.
Make sure it's flat, because if it's not flat, though, you're going to have issues with that stuff rocking on you, and then that'll be a nightmare. So, now,
is there a door then going into where the transition is?
There's not, actually.
Okay.
It's just kind of an open space.
I know you can do this, by
the way. The transition.
You want to do a T, do you? You want to do a T, do you?
T? No. I would just do a rabbit.
Okay.
Do you have a table saw, Sean?
I do. I do have a table saw.
Jeez.
You know, sometimes the best way to do a transition is to not start with a blank sheet of paper or whole cloth, but it's go to Home Depot, get an oak transition that they've already milled, and then just go take it to the table saw and modify it.
To work in your scenario.
Yeah. Okay. Rip it down.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Rip a rabbit in it, not a U, but an L shape.
So you mean it plugs into the hardwood side with a right angle.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Or it'll plug into the tiles. It'll sit on top of the hardwood and plug into the...
to the tile.
Yeah, here's the other thing about a transition.
Yeah.
if you're going to make one, because you have a floor that's 5/8 higher than the other floor, whatever it is,
right?
Take your chamfer bit and put a bevel on the edge before you rip the material off, because once you rip the material off, you won't have a place for the bearing.
Oh,
to run. You know what I mean?
I do.
So what I would do if I was making a transition is I would buy a oak threshold or whatever seemed to work at Home Depot.
Right.
Rip it down to, you know, 2.5 inches or 2 inches or whatever that whatever it is.
Yeah.
Then take the router and put the chamfer on the top edge. Then turn it up on the table saw up on its edge and rip it and then lay it flat. You have to set the blade depth.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and then clear it off, it off and do it that way.
And then it plugs right in.
Yeah. Theoretically.
That's the king of transitions.
That's
right
the
there.
King of transitions.
Yeah.
All right. Let's transition over to our friends over at Craig Tool. How? Boy, now you can create because of Craig. They got the new pocket hole jig 520 Pro. The most versatile pocket hole jig yet, works with a wide variety of material. Great all types of indoor and outdoor projects as well. Craig Hole Jig 520 Pro comes with everything you need. Drill and driver bits, material gauge, Craig Classic face clamp, 100 Craig pocket hole screws, and a project plan. Retails for just $99.99. It's available nationwide at Home Depot, Lowe's, and other home centers as well, and all the woodworking stores. You can build pocket hole projects anytime, anywhere, and you learn more at Craig Tool. That's KREGTool.com. That's KREGTool.com. I've been using mine. You've been using yours?
Yeah, I mean, pocket hole joinery is a seamless way to create right angles butting together where you don't see any attachment. Because you flip it on to the backside of it, and it looks
right.
Like you never had anything attaching. So it's used, obviously, in fine furniture. It's used in making drawer boxes.
It's
the way to go, man.
Well, right? Also, if you guys got yourself a Labor Day weekend project, now's the time to get going down.
Well,
the
this
garage.
Would be the time for the listeners to make homemade frames for their portrait of you and I next
Ooh.
To the bedside table. Am I right?
That's right. You could do frames. You could do cabinetry.
Yep.
You know, I think a good project for Labor Day would be garage storage.
Yes.
You can you can go to Home Depot or whatever and you can buy the blanks
right.
of treated stuff, you know,
right.
MDF or whatever, melamine, Cortron.
Well, you know, and this company also provides you with plugs too. So when you go ahead and you do your jig and you make your angled drilling scenarios, you can kind of plug in and cover that hole up so it can be seamless either with melamine or make it a wood plug. You never know it was there.
Yeah. And like I said, back in the day, you'd have to do a rabbit or a dado.
That's
and
right.
it took a lot of math, yeah. And it was not easy. But now everyone's an expert because of Craig. So you can do it at home. You can do it over the Labor Day. Do a project and get that, get that garage storage up and running. And by the way, I used to work for a company that did this. It's insane how expensive that cabinetry is.
Yeah, it is.
When they come out to give you a bid. So do it yourself. Do it with Craig. That is KREGTool.com and get your project going on.
Ace, you couldn't be more right with the garage organization. More compliments than anything else in my house is when people walk in my garage and see how organized it is.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Seamless.
Do it with Craig.
Yep.
All right. Let's see. We got some phone calls up here. We'll talk to, experience working with thermally modified lumber. That's one question. Building a steel building. Converting a shed in the backyard to a studio. Has questions about running electricity out there. I'm just going to start at the top. We'll talk to Devin, 32, Portland. Devin.
Hi, guy. Ooh, what's up, buds? Building this, it's a 24 by 24, one of those prefab steel buildings, you know, comes in pieces.
Mm-hmm.
You, by the way, you're the luckiest man in the world to have that space. You kidding me? What are you going to do with it?
Yeah, well, I'm going to put a two-post car lift in there, make it a little man cave. I want to do a loft on there. I have this big old glue lamb beam that came out of an old airport hangar that I want to incorporate somewhere. So, you know, my world is the oyster, so mm-hmm. I want to get your guys' input on making the ideal man cave.
Well, I like the two-post hoist versus the four-post hoist for the cars. They also have single-post hoists.
Yeah.
I don't know if Stromer's seen those. It's one post.
Yeah,
they do them, but you got to get into that slab.
Yeah. Is there a slab there, or are you making one?
Yep. I just finished pouring the slab.
Yeah.
The slab is done. I did thicker concrete where I think I might do the lift. So that's already 8 inches thick there. So.
Okay.
That's good.
Well, that's good. I mean, the single post stuff is, you know, the less post, the less stuff you have to walk around, obviously. But the twin post is fine. They're not terribly expensive. 8-inch slabs, more than enough. Probably put it down with some tension anchors, like some redheads or something like that. Yeah. You know, just drill them.
And are you going to do anything else in this place beside that? Do you have like sleeping arrangements there? Is it going to be a place to shoot guns,
play
music?
Well, yeah, you know,
music?
When the wife kicks me out of the house,
that's what I'm after. There you go.
And I am doing a little kitchenette in the bathroom because, you know, who wants to go walk to the house and take a shit? So,
well, there may be nights when you're just not interested in going back into the wedding bed, if you know what I'm saying. You may want your own space.
Yeah,
it happens all the time.
It does.
What are we going to do with this glue lamb beam?
Well, I want to do, so it's basically 24 by 24, and then there's another section where I'm doing the lift. That's 16 by 36. In that 24 by 24 area, I want to do some sort of loft upstairs so I can get a pool table up there and kind of have a, you know, hangout area. I just don't know how to attach that glue lamb beam to the, you know, the steel posts that hold up the building.
Well, I mean, you're going to have to put a post with a saddle in it. You know, you're not going to be able to just sort of attach it to
you
the
can't
existing
hang it
stuff.
Off. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Sure.
Now, so far, you just got the slab, right?
Correct. Yep.
You can have post fabbed up easily. I mean, you can just take 4x4 square steel and put a base plate on it and put a saddle on the top of it. I mean, just if anyone can just weld that stuff up. So that's pretty straightforward. Is it a 2x4 wall or is it a 2x6? I'm saying 2x, but is it 6 inches wide or 4 inches wide? What's the exterior?
Yeah, it's 6 inches.
6 inches. All right. I would do for the glue lamb, and that thing's going to span 24 feet?
It is, it's 26-foot wide glue lamb. So, I'd ideally like it to be, you know, clear underneath with no post or anything, obviously on the ends.
I'll tell you, what's the size of the glue lamb?
It is 16 or 18 inches tall, essentially.
By four?
By six.
Oh, by six. You'll make that span.
Yeah,
that's fine.
Yeah, it's a beast. It's a behemoth. Yeah.
Okay. So I would, I would probably get some thin wall or medium wall 6x6 square tubing. I would weld a plate on the bottom that didn't
with four bolts
that protruded right to left,
right.
Not forward or backward.
Right.
And I would get the right saddle and just weld it on top and through bolt it, you know, that way. Pretty easily done. And then just, you know, use the same redheads, tension anchors, just, you know, down
into slab,
down in the slab.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, you could epoxy all thread or something down in the slab if you wanted to as well. I mean, it doesn't really make a matter. You probably use a Titan bolt.
Yeah.
Down there too if you wanted.
And then are you gonna make the 24x24 building insulated, or are you gonna just insulate the room where the second floor thing is?
Yeah, I'll insulate the 24x24 area.
Right. I got
Then that's the front of the loft, then the back and the sides of the loft are ledgers that go around, and then I would hang probably hang joys.
Joist hangers, yeah.
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 Would you, that ledger all the way around the perimeter, would you attach that to the steel building or do the same thing, do steel posts and put them in? So it's kind of a freestanding structure.
I would
attach
it to the building if you can use it and not have to do extra posts.
How structural are those posts?
Oh, they're holding up that whole building. I mean, they're pretty beefy posts.
All right.
I think you can hang off that.
They're pretty beefy, and are they 24 on center?
No, it's only 6 posts, so they're basically 12 feet apart. So there's, you know.
Oh, okay.
Basically make it, you know, it's like kind of like you'd see in a big commercial building, those, you know, kind of upside
down. Yeah, but they don't have little framing members
in
between.
You'd have to, like, put in another beam between to span between those two posts, right, and attach that to your steel.
I think he's got to put the glue lamb in front.
In the front, and then a ledger between the span.
Ledger.
Yeah.
You could ledger with, they have 2x glue lamb material or composite material you can order now, too.
And then squeeze that between those two steel posts, right?
Or surface mount it.
Yeah,
maybe.
Either way.
I mean, I'm not, I don't have a picture of it, but there's a way to, I would through bolt it onto the tabs of the post, depending on the shape of the post. And then I would use joist hangers, and I don't know how far back you're going or how far forward you're going, but it, you know, at least 2x8.
Yeah.
By the way, here's how I would do it. You ready?
I'm ready.
I would order up all of this stuff. I think Paralam has it. You can go to like the catalog, right? Yeah. And I would make those joists, the web joists with the I-beam.
Oh, okay.
I have them in back here.
Yeah.
And I would order it and lay it out in such a way where I wasn't cutting every one of those goddamn joists.
Oh, so it was like a kit all of a sudden.
Yeah, order them at 12 foot and do the math.
And that's how far out you're going to put your posts in
your glue lamp.
Yeah,
right.
That's great.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you can order that stuff to the foot.
Right.
You know?
Then you don't have to fuck around with cutting it.
Even the ledger you might be able to get away with.
I wouldn't put my posts and that huge beam you're talking about in until that stuff's all there
I will take it a step further.
Yeah.
Do not, when you do that upper deck, when you do that loft space, Devin.
Mm-hmm.
Pick a number. Have that number be 12 foot, or have that number be 16 foot, so that when you're skinning it with the plywood, you cut one sheet in half, slide it against the back wall, then use a full sheet, and then use the other half front.
No waste.
Because if you fucking, let me tell you what everyone does. They go, I'm going to put this glue lamb up. Then next thing you know, you're skinning it. You go, well, what's the length? It's 13.3.
Right.
Now you're burning a ton of plywood.
There you go.
You're cutting a bunch of plywood.
Yep.
Make it 8 foot deep.
Right.
Make it 16 foot deep.
Right.
Make it 12 foot deep.
Right.
Something like 12 foot sounds reasonable.
Right.
And then you just cut the plywood in half use it
one
twice.
Time. There you go.
And do the same.
I like it. I like it.
Lay it out. So what I'm saying is don't go out. And this is true for everyone in many different applications. Don't go out and go, where would I like this post to be? Go do your research on how long is plywood.
Yeah.
Can I get a 10-foot sheet of plywood at a decent rate? Maybe I'll make it a 10-footer. Or maybe I'd like it 14 feet.
Right.
So I'll use 10-foot full run
and
cut 8-footers in half.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
And then place your glue lamb based on that and do the same thing with the joists, those web joists we're talking about. Order them all at 12-foot or 13-foot or whatever that thing is. They'll cut them. You'll drop them in.
Right. And then you'll know exactly what to get for your plywood because everything's in 12-foot lengths, and for your
2x4s,
whatever you're going to frame the room in, it's so much easier.
Yes.
I like the even numbers. It makes life easy.
Oh, my God. There's nothing worse than
13.6.
Burning 7 inches of plywood.
Right.
You have to buy
especially
a whole
sheet. Especially when plywood has traditionally been $100 a piece almost.
Yeah. So people in general, do the math.
They
that
don't think
way.
Like that. That's, they don't see, this is your you're a modular genius, is what you're you. Right.
That's right. I'm a modern day
modular genius.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let me tell you guys about Talkspace. Everyone's racing to get back to normal. Getting back to feeling normal takes a little time. Now's the time to prioritize your mental health. We talk to our friends, we talk to our family during the tough times, but they don't always have good advice, especially my family. So, you know, I get to talk to guys like Drew and Jimmy and Mark Garagos. You know, I got friends, but some people, they don't have a Dr. Drew to speak to, and that's where Talkspace comes in. Makes it easy to match you with a licensed therapist, send unlimited messages, and schedule live video sessions from the comfort of your own device, and you can start messaging the day you sign up. Individual and couples therapy as well, and medication prescription services. Talkspace works around your schedule at your convenience. Go anywhere and take your therapist with you. Right, Matt?
That's right. Start feeling better with a single message. Match with a licensed therapist when you go to Talkspace.com and get $100 off your first month with the promo code ACE. That's $100 off when you use code ACE at Talkspace.com.
All right. Someone wants to know, experience with thermally modified lumber. Someone else has a shed they're converting. Wants to know about electrical. Let's see. I'll talk to Justin in Alabama first. Justin, 30.
Hey there, how's it going?
Hi, guy.
Hi, guy. So, yes, what I'm doing is I'm going to be purchasing a shed for my wife. She's an artist, and I need a little bit of space for her. So what I'm thinking about doing is getting a 8x12 shed put in the backyard and converting that to a studio space. So I just had some general questions about running some conduit out there to the shed for lighting and AC. Imagine it's pretty miserable out there having to paint. No AC in Alabama.
If you're good, how long is the run from the house to the shed?
It's probably about 20 foot from the back of the house to where it would go.
And then where is the panel in your existing house to where the shed is?
The panel is in my garage, so that's probably, it's on the other side of the house, so probably another 20 or 30 foot from the back.
How's the panel? How's the service?
Do you have room in the panel for another couple circuits?
Yeah, I have room in the panel. That won't be a problem at all.
Yeah. How many amps is it?
Ooh.
What year's the
house?
I do
not know that. The house was built in the 70s.
Do you think the panel's been upgraded?
No, it has not.
Are they Zinsco?
I know. So here's what I do know. I have a shed that's already back there, and it had wires run to it. They cut it off before we bought the house. So I've known they run wire to there, but they didn't run conduit. What they did was they just buried a line. Of course, that lasted all of what? A few weeks before it got cut.
Variable
Romex. So I was going to go in there, dig that up, drop conduit, and run it to two separate sheds.
And you want to run an air conditioner in that shed?
Yes, sir. That's correct.
And that should be on its own circuit for sure. So make sure you dedicate just the AC. If you do like a mini split, you want to have a dedicated circuit for that AC.
You have central air in the house?
That's correct.
I'm worried a little about the panel. I'm worried that it needs to be upgraded to a 200 amp panel. 70s doesn't feel.
Yeah, and I don't want you to have crappy, you know, it, like I said before, Zinsco, like those things routinely are in that vintage of a home, and they're just awful and difficult to find replacements. So, you know, to Adam's point, sometimes before you get into these things, you may want to double check and see if you need to upgrade your panel, which is not that big a deal, really. You know, it's a couple grand maybe to have someone do that.
Well, yeah, people do it all the time. At a certain point, if you get a house from the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, maybe even the 80s, and you start adding things on like central air and stuff like that, and other appliances and things of that nature, then it just becomes time to upgrade the panel.
Right.
It usually ends up going from 100 amp to 200 amp. It's work, but it's worth it kind of thing. And it's also kind of a base, because if you try to do a long run to this shed and you put a air conditioning unit in there and the panel's not upgraded,
yep,
it can be a little hairy. There's also a certain danger factor with electrical. So what I would say is have a certified electrician come over and let's just assess the panel.
Correct.
You know, then when it comes to,
understood,
when it comes to, you know, variable conduit, you know, you trench,
yeah,
you buy it, you bury it.
You want to go 18 inches deep at least, you know. I don't know what Alabama's code is depth wise, but find that out, and you're going to want to trench.
Probably not much of one, but.
Yeah, I mean, don't lay it out on the, because I do this for a living, I've had conduit where it's literally just laying on the top of the ground going back a long run.
Well, 18's a little excessive,
yeah,
but
yeah,
you got to get down.
You should get it below ground at least.
And, you know, the variable conduit is pretty straightforward,
yeah,
and it's pretty cheap, and
yeah,
that'll be the least of your worries.
Yeah.
It's really more about
and make
the
sure that you take into consideration someday if you're going to pull more wires through to get more power out there that you get a big enough conduit, right? And you choose the right gauge wire.
Understood.
You know what I mean?
So then, yeah, don't get a small one and
yeah,
ain't any more wires in there. Gotcha.
Exactly. And there's all this liquitite stuff that you should have so that water doesn't penetrate any of the connections or boxes that do come up partway down if you want to have an outlet poking out of the ground somewhere. Get all that stuff. There's a reason that they sell it. It's really important. You don't want water getting into your conduits.
Well, yeah. Now, they have variable Romex, just so you guys know, but it's not really the preferred choice, and I don't like it for this application.
That stuff concerns me, too, if someone digs down someday and doesn't know it's there.
Yeah, the variable Romex would be like if you wanted to put in some outdoor lighting and you didn't have a very long run to
right,
make, and you just need to go from the panel in the corner of the house 8 feet to the whatever where you're going to put in a box or something. You can kind of get away with it then, but not for a long run. Like
yeah, and
this,
if you're doing a lot of trenching, rent a trencher. It's not that expensive, and boy, does it save in labor.
Get that Ditch Witch. All right, let me tell you about Blinds Galore. They're having a huge Labor Day sale. It starts this week. Everything up to 50% off. You worked hard all summer. Reward yourself with custom window coverings from BlindsGalore.com. During one of their biggest sales of the year, Blinds Galore believes that you deserve high-quality, custom-built blinds and shades and shutters, family-owned and run, mother and daughter duo. Ladies doing it for themselves, Stromer.
Ladies are doing it for themselves.
Over 20 years. You do it all from home. You just take a few measurements and customize it online. New Build a Blind tool lets you see exactly what they're going to look like on screen before you buy. Drew has these in his pool house. I have them in my bedroom. I have them in my studios. I have them everywhere. Blinds Galore experts and their customer care experts and their team will help you every step of the way, either online or on the phone. Right, Matt?
That's right. You work hard enough. Blinds Galore makes it easy to get the custom blinds and shades you've always wanted in your home. So check out BlindsGalore.com during their big Labor Day sale for 50% off before it ends September 8th. Don't forget to let them know Adam sent you. That's BlindsGalore.com.
Well, we got Dennis from Louisville.
What?
Kentucky.
From where?
Louisville. You're not allowed to say Louisville.
No.
You got to go Louisville.
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 No. You can definitely not say Louisville. It's Louisville.
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 It needs to be indecipherable. Yeah.
That's right.
Louisville.
What do you got, Dennis?
Yeah, so I'm calling because I went to the lumberyard yesterday. I'm getting ready to build a hoopa for my friend's wedding.
Wow.
And they had thermally modified lumber that they were saying would be good for an exterior use, and I'd never seen it before, but they had poplar, and it is, they were telling me, dried in a kiln with some kind of inert gas
mm-hmm.
that cooks all the sugars out of the wood. So it looks almost like walnut, and it is way, way cheaper by the board foot than any of the other stuff.
Hold on a second. This reminds me of when I used to work for A&B Carpet Cleaning.
Yeah.
And they would always go, when we're done cleaning, when you probably should do the Teflon treatment. Because the Teflon treatment is going to protect the thing. And I'd go, the guy go, all right, pay for that. And I'd see the guy in the back filling up the Hudson sprayer from the sink.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I go, what are you doing? Teflon treatment. I'm like, from the sink?
Yeah.
That's oh, right. Yeah. They
oh,
paid
yeah, there's
extra.
Teflon in there. Yeah.
Yep. There's Teflon in there.
Sugar cooking.
All right. So you take the poplar. It's not alder, it's poplar.
It's poplar, yeah.
So wait, it's the way that the poplar is dried that makes it thermally...
And it's baked and it gives it that brown hue like alder. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and it's all the way through.
And okay. Are we to assume that sugar in lumber is what makes critters and nature want to destroy it?
That is what they were leaving. That's their position on it. I have not heard
all
that.
Right. Well, I don't know this.
This is
poplar.
It's like witchcraft.
Poplar is basically the bologna of lunch meats.
It really is.
You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
It's like it's kind of lunch. You can make a sandwich out of it,
that's
but it's
right.
not as good as some smoked turkey.
No.
But it's fine.
It doesn't have knots.
Yeah, it's definitely
it's paintable,
shapeable, and usable, and it'll take a router.
Yeah.
And it's harder than alder.
Yeah.
It's not as hard as oak. But that'll work.
Well, how long does this huppah have to last? Isn't it just a one-time deal?
Yeah, it is a one-time deal, but my friend, you know, wants to keep it and maybe put it outside on their patio after the wedding.
All right. So are you looking to do it out of 2x or 1x?
So I was going to actually do like route the make like a lace with a router on it to do a barley twist post for the four corners of it.
I think that sounds really beautiful. I mean, I think it's really sweet you're doing this, by the way. So you should make it last for sure, right?
Yeah.
How did they how'd they suggest finishing it?
They said just to put like clear coat on it and they would be, you know, good to go. So like poly.
And is this stuff way more board foot wise than traditional like exterior grade wood like redwood or something, or ipe? Obviously is going to be way more and harder, but like how much does this cost?
I mean, it is substantially. It was like $4 a board foot, and you know, we're in Kentucky to get ipe and stuff like that is pretty expensive. I mean, it was substantially cheaper than just plain old walnut.
A board foot, for everyone listening, is just 1 foot wide and 1 inch thick, but it's 3/4 thick or whatever, but it's 1 foot.
Right.
Like, so whatever that boils down to. So if you got, let's see, if you got 1x6 and you got two of them that were 2 foot long, that would be one, wait a minute, that'd be 2 board feet.
Two board feet, right.
All right, I'll abide by this. I worry a little about the clear
on it,
like the verathane on it.
Well,
I mean, it'll look good.
It'll yellow.
It'll look good for the wedding, but I don't know about down the road. I might discuss some penetrating something with that. It's all fine.
And for God's sakes, don't say it will yellow like the bride's teeth over time.
That's
don't say that.
It'll work. Do you? How are you going to join everything?
So I got to drive this to the wedding.
It's got to be modular.
Actually, so.
You're talking to the modular king.
Yeah,
you want to make it in sections.
So I'm going to make the four corner posts. Obviously, those just are what they are. And then the top part of it, I was going to use castle joints to snap them into the four posts.
Oh,
what's a castle joint? I don't know what a castle joint is.
It's basically just snaps in. You create kind of two channels going perpendicular to one another. One board would go in the bottom, and then it would have a part cut out where the other piece would snap into that. They both sit inside of that four-way perpendicular channel.
Hmm.
Jeez, this sounds like a business.
Yeah,
man.
You don't need
Masters.
Yeah.
It's called Hoopa Masters.
All right, Dennis, I will definitely sign off on this baked poplar.
I do. I like it.
I'm interested in it.
I want to see it, too.
I've never seen it before. Maybe Gary can find us a picture of this baked poplar. Nice.
Sugar-free wood is what I'm after.
Yeah, but I still would look into possibly finishing it off with some wax or some oil or something that penetrated or something. Because
stands the test of time, like their love.
Like their love. All right, go ahead with your last piece of business there.
Oh, yeah, you bet. You kidding me? The old Geico. Friends, Romans, countrymen, do you own or rent your own home? Well, sure you do, and I bet it can be hard work. But you know what's easy? Well, bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing, too. Why? Well, because you already have so much to do around your own home. How about going to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save? It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
All right. Tomorrow, Catalina Island, Descanso Beach Club. We'll be doing stand-up there, so you can come on out.
You're going to wear like an ascot
Jimmy Buffett
for that thing, or no?
I go Jimmy Buffett.
It sounds
style.
Almost Monaco-ish to me.
No, it's more Buffett. Jimmy. It's more parrot head. Right. Yeah. And also coming up, Royal Oak. That'll be September 10th, and then the 11th, Kansas City Arvesta Bank Theater. And you can just go to amcroll.com because I'm coming to Chicago and Solana Beach. I'm coming everywhere. That's so right. Just go to adamcarolla.com and find out about all the shows. And you can check out our Pluto TV channel 687 and watch our 8 new episodes of Going Racing. So until next time, Adam Carolla for Eric Stromer saying mahalo.
Subscribe on iTunes or visit aceontheroof.com.
Pluto TV is playing the biggest movies every night this summer for free. Watch hit movies like The Matrix, G.I. Joe Retaliation, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Scary Movie, Runaway Bride, and more all summer long. Check out the biggest stars like The Rock, Keanu Reeves, Tom Cruise, Julia Roberts, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and more. Plus, Pluto TV has hundreds of free TV channels in English and Spanish featuring TV shows, news, sports, comedy, and more all for free. Download the free Pluto TV app on your favorite streaming device, including Android and Apple smartphones. Pluto TV. Drop in. Watch free.
Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.
This is Corolla Digital.